We are in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, and we've been walking through with King Ahaz and Isaiah and the predicament that he finds himself in. And Isaiah keeps getting these visions from God, to which he goes and talks to Ahaz and gives him these visions. And Ahaz keeps going, "That's great, but I'm going to go ahead and choose my way instead. Thanks for your words and visions, but no, it's me." If you remember, we opened with this predicament that King Ahaz and the kingdom of Judah found themselves in, that they were going to either have to join with Israel to fight taxation without representation, essentially, or to turn Israel in and go with the guys who were taxing them and stand with them. Those were their two options. And then Isaiah goes, but wait, there's more. There's this amazing picture where the temple of God is going to rise up and all people are going to come and acknowledge that God is Lord, and they will know about him and learn and obey. And this beautiful picture, this is your option, Ahaz, is what Isaiah says. And Ahaz goes, "That's great. I'm going to choose what's behind door number two." And he does. And it opens up this time of war. It opens up this time where the kingdom of Judah, including Jerusalem, are just getting attacked. And at the moment where we pick them up, they've just been in some battles and they're not going so well. And Isaiah 7, verse 10 says this: "Not long after this, the Lord sent this message to King Ahaz. 'Ask me for a sign, Ahaz, to prove that I will crush your enemies as I have promised. Ask for anything you like. Make it as difficult as you want.' But the king refused. 'No,' he said, I wouldn't test the Lord like that.' Then Isaiah said, 'Listen well, you royal family of David. You aren't satisfied to exhaust my patience. You exhaust the patience of God as well. All right, then, the Lord himself will choose the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. God is with us. By the time this child is old enough to eat curds and honey, he will know enough to choose what is right and reject what is wrong. But before he knows right from wrong, the two kings you fear so much, the kings of Israel and Aram, will both be dead.' These are the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Now, what's amazing about this, what's great about this, and especially at this time of year, is we hear the sign, the virgin will conceive a child. She will name him Emmanuel. God is with us. Now, scholars like to point out that there was probably some woman. The Hebrew word for virgin there isn't necessarily virgin. It could be just young woman. And they say that somebody was pregnant at that time, and it's speaking specifically to that generation in that time. But it also is a messianic prophecy for us. It's a messianic prophecy for people who look for those things. And you see beyond that, we get to know who Messiah is. We get to know who Emmanuel is. That a virgin gave birth to a child and she named him Emmanuel. God is with us. But that's not what I want to talk about today. That's wonderful and great. And I dare say we might talk about it on Tuesday. However, what really caught my attention when I was reading through this scripture, what really just grabbed me was Ahaz's response to God. God goes, "Hey, I've given you this picture. I've given you this image. The end of the story looks like this. You've had a couple of choices. You've chosen your own path. Okay. You're getting the tar beat out of you right now. I'm telling you that the picture hasn't changed. The end of the story is the same. Ask me to prove it. Ask me for a sign. Anything you want." What? Think about that. Say God comes to you and he's like, "Psst, hey, I know you're having some doubts right now. We're going through a little rocky time, aren't we? Yeah? Okay, good. You know the promises that I've made to you. Ask me for anything you want, and I will prove that those are real." Anything. What if God whispered in your ear, "Hey, ask me for a sign, anything you want"? How many of you know what you would ask for by show of hands? I do. Doesn't even take me a second. I know. Just like five of you, the rest of you are way too selfish. Selfless, maybe. We got world peace, right? No, I'm not that altruistic. Yes. The end of hunger across the world, God. No. I wouldn't go there. I'd go that Grace could tell me she loves me with her words. I don't even have to hesitate. God says, ask me to prove it. Anything you want. Grace talks now. Every night, my prayer doesn't change. I put her in bed. We say prayers. And I say, God, let those words come over the dam like water just rushing forth. Let them just come out right now. Everything. Let her talk. And I look at her and I say, tell me you love me. How's that? That's what I get. I say, I love you too. And I kiss her and I leave the room. God comes to me and says, Michael asked me for a sign. There's not a second before he finishes his statement that passes before I jump in. I know exactly what I want. But Ahaz says no. He's like, oh, no, 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 my friend. I'm not going to put the Lord to the test. You know, I see what's going on here. I know the way that you play. This is like, hey, pull my finger type thing, isn't it? Ahaz has this relationship with God that he's just like, whoa. Yeah, later on, Jesus says what? Do not put the Lord your God to the test, right? See, but this is different. This is God coming to Ahaz going, God, Ahaz, anything you want. I just want to bear myself to you. He's like, no. No. See, the difference between me and Ahaz is our relationship with God at this moment in Ahaz's life. The difference between Isaiah and Ahaz is their relationship with God. A little bit later, you will see that Isaiah is asked to call his son. He's like, hey, write this on a piece of paper. It's like plundering and it's like this horrible name, plundering and stealing and destruction and everything. It's like, you're going to have a son and that's what you're going to name him. Isaiah's like, done. This is your name. Dad, sorry, man. That's what God told me. All right. So come on, plunder. Let's go. You know, he's like, boom, not even a question. When an angel of the Lord appears to Mary and says, hey, Mary, you're going to conceive a child. Okay. Joseph. Hello. Hey, you're going to be married to this beautiful young girl named Mary. And oh, by the way, she's pregnant. What? Angel of the Lord appears to him. Hey, dude, it's cool. My baby. Done. I'm in. No problem. We're in. You know, there's this. What is it about those relationships? They were real. They had one. They were close. When Peter Kreft writes a commentary on the book of Job, and what he says about the difference between Job and his three friends and their relationship with God, he says that Job had this amazing love for God. And he says the opposite of love isn't hate. The opposite of love is indifference. The opposite of love is not hate, claims Kreft. It's indifference. And see, so Job loved God, and he had some moments of hatred. He was throwing stuff at God, angry. And his friends are like, whoa, that's on you, man. It's not God. Because his friends had an indifferent relationship with him. He takes it a little bit further and he gives this illustration that Job had a relationship like a marriage where you stay in the kitchen and something's wrong and you stay in the kitchen and you fight. You throw dishes at one another. You yell and you scream, but you don't leave that room because the relationship is too important. Job's friends, they had the kind of marriage where you had separate bedrooms. You took separate vacations. Maybe you send separate Christmas cards. Really, you have no relationship at all. See, what I believe Isaiah had, what I believe that Mary and Joseph had, what I believe that Ahaz was lacking, there was this relationship that was so personal and intense that trust was there. That trust was the baseline for it. Because that's what it boils down to here in this situation, is that Ahaz doesn't trust God enough to say, okay, this is what I want. That Ahaz, for some reason, just hasn't taken that next step. That even in the darkest moments of his time, that he would trust that the image that God sent to him was going to come true. He didn't trust that that picture at the end of the story was going to be great. How you get there, I don't know. But that's the end. As many of you know, I am a Christmas movie freak, and I've recently been on a binge of them, watching quite a few. One that we watched last night, again, because it's worth it, was Holiday in Handcuffs. And Holiday in Handcuffs is this just great, you know, Charles Dickens, and then this, you know, it's just right up there with those masterpieces of cinema. And it's, I can't remember the girl's name. I think she was Buffy the Vampire Slayer, maybe. And then Mario from Saved by the Bell. We'll give you, those are the two lead characters. So it's Dimples and Teeth the entire movie. It's just, can't look away, really. So this is basically the premise of the movie. Spoiler alert, okay? So the girl is a waitress in a restaurant. She's a little scatterbrained, she's an artsy person. And so she's a little kind of crazy. She is supposed to go spend Christmas with her family in the mountains in some little cabin in the middle of nowhere. Her boyfriend calls and breaks up with her, who she told her parents and her family that I'm bringing home my boyfriend. They're like, yeah, you don't have a boyfriend. There's no way. We don't believe you. I really am this time. And all these family history issues come out and he breaks up with her. So she freaks out. I have no one to take. So she kidnaps someone from the restaurant. She happens to have a gun from the British and Indian War. I don't know why, but she has this revolver. And Mario walks through on his way to the bathroom, and she's like, "You're coming with me." And she kidnaps him. Hilarity ensues as he slips on the ice trying to get away, knocks his head out. She ends up tying him to the inside of her car with nylons. To which she says, "What are these things made of?" They go to the house. Handcuffs eventually come in, hence the name Holiday in Handcuffs. So she's kidnapped this guy. Now, you would think once they get to the cabin that he could say, "Hey, your daughter's crazy. She kidnapped me. Please take me home." But her family's just as nuts, and they buy the whole story that he's just kind of trying to be funny, and he's nervous, and so he does stupid jokes like that when he's nervous. And so days pass by. His real girlfriend's looking for him, gets the police involved. All the while, what's happening to our two main characters? Falling in love. Why? Because it's Christmas. Of course they are. He's held under duress, but we know that it's going to be okay, right? So Christmas dinner, the climax of the movie, everyone's coming out with their little secrets and they're realizing what Christmas is all about. Boom, here come the policemen into the Christmas dinner with their guns a-blaring, you know, and everyone ends up in jail. Fast forward to the end of the movie, and they end up together, married happily ever after. Yes! Spike the ball, touchdown, tears, it's awesome. You know, it's great because that is a Christmas movie. You know it's going to happen. It's a little tenuous for a while. Oh, no, the evil fiancé is going to win. No, here comes the crazy waitress to steal the show. You know, it's one of those things. And every Christmas movie is like that, right? They're all like that. You can watch them and you know that at the end of the day, the story is going to be beautiful and wonderful and perfect. If not, it'd be a Halloween movie, not a Christmas movie, right? That's what they are about. That's why we love them, because we know that there is a promise. We trust that the people of Hallmark are not going to lead us down this path and then drop us off the edge of a cliff. They're going to lead us down this path into something beautiful and wonderful. That makes our heart feel all warm and fuzzy. The Grinch, His heart is always going to grow, right? We know this. You trust that the end of the movie is going to be beautiful. You trust that at the end of this story, that God is going to answer the promises that he laid. That one day he will come again to bring us back to be in his Father's house. That one day cancer will no longer have any hold over any one of us. That death will lose its sting. That one day hunger, that great thing that I was too selfish not to ask God for to end, would be ended. That one day, the picture that he gave Ahaz, the picture that he continues to give us, that one day it will all be better. That one day grace will look at me face to face and say, I love you. Now, before we get there, I might have to throw some dishes. Before we get there, there might be moments in my life that I get angry with God again. I'm not going to leave that room. I'm not going to leave that room because my relationship with him is too important. Because I trust him. I trust in his mercy. I trust in his love. I trust in his goodness. I trust that 2,000 and something years ago, he entered into humanity in the form of a baby. And he grew to be a man. And he had a ministry and he taught people how to love God and how to love one another. And before he left, he said, one day I will come back to get you. And it's all going to be okay. That's a Christmas message. Trust. And love. Trust in the love of God. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the love that you give to us. Even in moments where we don't deserve it, you shower it upon us. The love you have is so great for us that you are willing to give your life so that we might have ours. Forgive us for those moments where we have forgotten to trust you. That when you've asked us for something, we've been a little leery about answering. Fill us with the strength to trust you. Give us those opportunities to love you as you love us with everything that we have, with all that we are. I pray, God, as we go through the rest of the season, short though it may be, that we would focus in on the love that you've given us through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.